one of the most vivid memories I have is of the Erebus disaster, and it was just absolutely. I remember it must have been probably a Wednesday night because my dad was off at a church meeting, and I was at home. And then across the TV came this broadcast to say that the plane going down to see Antarctica was late. And they'd lost contact with it, and they didn't know what had happened, and so it was quite concerning. So anyway, the next morning we woke up, and it was a disaster, our worst airline disaster, New Zealand's worst airline disaster. 28th of November 1979, remember it well. Air New Zealand flight 901 flew into Mount Erebus, killing all 237 passengers and 20 crew. And it was a shocker, absolute shocker. Yeah, and initially it was concluded that actually it was the pilot's fault, that they had got their directions wrong. But a Royal Commission was set up to dig a little bit deeper, and it found that two factors caused the accident. A correction was made to the coordinates of the flight path in the internal computer of the plane before the disaster, the night before the disaster. And the second thing was that no one told the pilots of the changes that had been made. And so the result was that the aircraft flew off and being guided by the computer in a direct path towards Mount Erebus. And now, surely you'd think, okay, the pilots would be able to see the mountain and be able to steer a different direction. But it was in a sector whiteout, and I've got what Wikipedia says here. Outside, there was a layer of clouds that blended with the white of the snow-covered volcano, forming a sector whiteout. There was no contrast between the two to warn the pilots. The effect was that everyone on the flight deck was deceived, making the belief that the white mountainside was actually the Ross Ice Shelf. So they just didn't see it coming. So they just flew straight into the mountain. Look, I've known a few disasters in my life and also seen others crash, and many of them were preventable. Then there are those crashes that just keep on seeing happen repeated time and time and time again. You keep on doing the same thing over and over again, but and you expect different results, but you wind up with the same disaster on your hands. You blame others, and accusations fly. You hide the facts and you twist the truth. You orchestrate what was come to known as a litany of lies, which is what Justice Mann called as part of the review. But deep down, though, it was you that was making those decisions. And it's like you have this onboard computer in your brain with the wrong coordinates loaded into it, and you're flying towards an inevitable disaster. And then there was this momentous change in the history of the world. But for one man, it got extremely personal. He had his own inbuilt computer brain telling him to always respond to a situation in a certain way. Even though he had been a follower of Jesus for 3 years, had listened to everything Jesus had said, seen all the miracles, he still had a disaster. It was Peter. You know, Peter, despite having all that experience and knowledge, he still denied knowing Jesus. You know, and he had a disaster. His world collapsed. Now, later, of course, we know that he was forgiven and restored, but this was a pivotal moment in Peter's life. It was a time of major course correction. He had to change his thinking and his acting. And later on, this is his message to an equally misguided group of people. He says, change the way you think and act. It's pretty blunt, straight to the point. Change the way you think and act. Acts 2:38 and 3:19. You see, change is a course direction, an alteration in your thinking which leads to new actions and new behaviors. Look, and one of my favorite quotes is from French philosopher, Christian mystic, and social activist Simone Weil. She says that sin is not a distance, it's a turning our gaze in the wrong direction. Now, we have all turned our gaze in the wrong direction. All of us have some disastrous coordinates programmed into our neural pathways. And often these are from childhood. Early conclusions made steer the life of our ship. Every day we have experiences that subconsciously reinforce our belief that the world is a dangerous place. Or no one can be trusted, that I have no worth. My situations can't change. I have no rights. What is your deep belief that you hold? I believe that there is a dance going on. It's a dance of course correction. And, you know, when I was in school, we used to have square dancing. You know, we would choose a partner, then four couples would stand in the square. The frazzled teacher, you know, frazzled after hurting children, would put on a record, and the record player would, and out of the sound of this record player, there'd come the scratchy American folk singer encouraging us to take your partner, swing them to the left and to the right, do-si-do, and go to some place called Red River Valley. It was rhythm and patterns, and you got to dance with the pretty girl, and more often not the pretty girl. But anyway, I believe that we are all in a course correction dance with partners who are perfect in every way. They know the exact steps to take and are very gracious about our stepping on their toes. But my little logo for turning the page symbolizes this. It's like four little koru, little spirals, and they're all joined together, and they're all touching each other. You know, four dancing spirals or koru. God is parent, mother, father. Jesus, the Son, and Spirit is inviting us to change the way we think and act. I get invitations to course correct every day. Some I ignore and some I explore. Some I take in and make into part of my thinking compass. Look, I don't want you or anyone else to keep on heading towards disasters, large or small. But it requires a willingness to change the way you think and act. Mental health is accepting that we need to change the way we think and act. Here's some quotes for you to think about. Metanoia, or change of consciousness, can only come with time. Patience is the very shape of love. I love that. Patience is the very shape of love. Without it, religion is merely about enforcing laws and requirements. Richard Rohr. The word change normally refers to new beginnings, but transformation more often happens not when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. The pain of old falling apart, disruption, chaos, invites the soul to listen at a deeper level. It invites and sometimes forces the soul to go to a new place because the old place is not working anymore. Richard Rohr. Change can either help people to find a new meaning, or it can cause people to close down and turn bitter. The difference is determined by the quality of your inner life, or what we call spirituality. Change of itself just happens. Spiritual transformation is an active process of letting go, living in the confusing dark space for a while, and allowing yourself to be spit up on a new and unexpected shore. I like that, spit up. You can see why Jonah in the belly of the whale is such an important symbol for many Jews and Christians. Richard Rohr. Here's some questions for you to consider. Do you ever have moments where you mutter to yourself, why do I keep on doing that? Number two, we all want others to change, but how difficult is it to change yourself? Why? Three, what is a false, misleading belief that you have that seems to look for evidence of being true, e.g., I have no worth? Hey, I hope you found that helpful. And if you're like me, like to email me, and the email address is barry@turningthepage.co.nz. I'd love to hear from you guys. I always really enjoy getting emails and hearing what people are saying. And if you would like to be part of my team that helps put this together and funds it, then there's six simple ways in which you can support Turning the Page. And there's a come over to turningthepage.co.nz ofco.nz/support, and you'll find out more. Hey, thanks for watching or listening, and we will catch up with you next week. Bye.